what's on our paper there. We talked about heaven last week. We're going to talk a little bit about hell today. So we get started here. We'll look at word of prayer, and then we'll start, okay? Lord, we thank you for your love for us. God, we thank you for Christ and what you did on the cross that saves us from this hell that's been prepared for the devil and his demons. Lord, I thank you so for that saving grace, that salvation, that gift. Lord, we don't deserve it. It's a gift that you give us. We can't do anything to get it. We can't do anything to keep it. Lord, it's all by your power that we are saved. Lord, we just pray today that you would enlighten us to the urgency of folks being saved. Friends, family, loved ones, people we see every day. Lord, we pray that you bless this lesson today. Give us understanding about your word and how things are going to happen in the future. Lord, we thank you so for giving us a little bit of understanding of what hell's about and how bad it is and how bad people need to know. Lord, just give us understanding today. Lord, we love you. Pray for our service today as things go on this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I want to start today in looking at that we are saved and that we are redeemed. And as the song says, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed from what? We're saved from an eternal hell, an eternal separation from the Lord. And as the world spins on, we seem to go from things that are the winds of controversy are blowing us about. And if we don't have, if we're not grounded in God and grounded in Christ, we can be blowed with this wind and these waves, just as the disciples were that day in that small little boat on the Sea of Galilee, as they were blowed about. But God was already always there. He knew what was going to happen. And we know the story. Christ comes walking on the waves and calms the water. He can calm things around us too. We've come through COVID over the last couple years, and now we have a conflict in Europe. Brother Harry and I were talking about the churches that we'd visited there, what's going to happen to them, and those missionaries that are there, and those national churches that are there, if they're successful taking over the whole country. On and on we go. The world is affected by sin. And the Bible says as time moves on, things will continue to point toward end times, point toward the day that a lot of people are going to have to deal with hell. Now, there's a lot of people dealing with it right now. We have a world that's unsaved, but they still have time to get their hearts right with God before this happens. I think one of the things that our churches have softened the blow of punishment by hell. People say, well, how could a good God send people to a place like that? How would a good God do this or that? Again, people have their opinions, and a lot of them hold on to that truth thinking, well, that's God's not going to send me to a place that I'm going to be punished forever and ever. Well, yes, he is, because he's holy, he's righteous, and sin has to be separated from eternity in heaven. But we have it here on this world to deal with. The winds of are contrary to anything that we try to do positive for the Lord. But God gives us help in all that. The Bible also says in Hebrews that wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him. Now that in that verse right there says save them to the uttermost means that there is no one that's done anything bad enough in our eyes that can't be saved. We can definitely pray people in that they come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And it falls on our shoulders as Christians to be able to talk to folks and tell them the truth about what Christ has done on the cross, but also tell them the truth that there's an ever-burning hell that is available for them if they don't trust Christ and what he did on the cross. We can look on this sheet and see that there's a heaven and a hell, and we talked about heaven last week, but salvation it is possible for all mankind. It is possible for all people that are living today. Now we can think about people that are causing this war and think about all those people are evil that are doing that. They're in there trying to take these people's homes and their country. And we got people coming into this country across the southern border that may want to stop this country from what it used to be. And we know the mess that our politics are in. And all that. We could just go on and on and on and muddy our minds forever with all those things. The bottom line is that because of what Jesus did on the cross, he made a way to heaven. And we know that. And we should tell others that. Everywhere we go, we look for opportunities. We ought to be soul winners. We've heard that preached so many times. But we just kind of get to where that just gets glossed over. I think I'm going to start a lesson on the New Testament church as we see it today and where we are today in New Testament churches and the pattern that was set in the beginning. But is that pattern being followed today? There's evidence, much, much evidence, that there's so many people strayed from the original New Testament church that Christ and the disciples set up. That the true preaching of there is a hell has just been blurred away because people don't like to hear that they're going to be punished. And they say, well, I'm not bad. I've never done anything really bad. Well, as Grandma used to say, if they're breathing, they're lying. If I'm breathing, I've lied at one time to myself or somebody else. That's a sin. It only takes one. And God separates us from him because you're a sinner. It's in our blood. And we've been taught all this stuff. But we forget. We don't think about. We can't think about the worst thing that could ever happen to someone is someone in our family, our loved ones, someone we know, And I know some of us here have experienced this with friends and people that went on before us doubting. We've all been to funerals that people doubt that they were saved. And there's no doubt, based on God's word, that if we close our eyes in death, we're going to wake up instantly somewhere, either heaven or hell. And how can we stop that? We can't. The only way we can stop it is suggest to them that they need to be saved and use God's word. But that verse there in Hebrews 7:25 says, to them, to the uttermost, come unto God by him. Means there's nothing out of reach for God. There is no one out of reach for God that he can't save them out of any sinful situation. Of course, the devil wants to muddy that and blur people's minds to think that they're not worth being saved. But folks, the truth of it is, people are going to be cast into the lake of fire. Now, I want to rejoice for the salvation that we have. We need to rejoice in that. And I went back and looked at a verse I read here a few weeks ago in Psalms 32. What a great chapter that is in Psalms 32. You can look it up and read the whole thing later. It says right there in verse 1, blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. We're blessed, folks. We're blessed. And you can go down to the end of it in verse 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous. Shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. If you've had a heart change, you've been born again. We ought to shout for joy. All of us here, I think most of us, everybody sitting in this room is saved. We ought to jump for joy and shout for joy that we aren't going to this hell that's been prepared for the devil. I know, there's no doubt about it. Pastor Lashley, for the last however many years, and Jody and all the other pastors that have been at this church, the purpose of BRBC is to not let one person go to hell. Our focus, all the stuff that Buffalo Ridge does, the bus ministry, the kids ministry, all the activities, it all comes to one pinnacle, and that's to bring someone to Christ, to keep them from going to an ever-burning hell. We've lost that vision, I think, in a lot of our churches today. We've lost that. Now we're going to start looking at hell here. If you look at your chart, I got a bunch of verses printed out here. It's easy for me to print them big and see them. Looking at your chart there. So we talked about heaven last week. First heaven, second heaven, and third heaven. And that's where Christ is right now. Everything changed at the cross. Big change at the cross. We know that day that he died on the cross and then he rose again, he did some things. The Jewish ceremonies and all that they did changed. The Holy Spirit came down to dwell within us permanently. And it changed so much. And it changed things where paradise was at that time. So we're going to look at some verses. And you can look there. And Larkin's got this little drawing. And you can see where it's showing the earth down there and the flood. And there's some angels prior to the flood that got put in this place called Tartarus. And we'll look at that verse here in a minute. Let's just start and look. So we can look at a word here. There are two words described where the soul and the spirit go at death before the resurrection of Christ. Now, this is before the resurrection of Christ. There's a word called Sheol, and it's used in it's a Hebrew word. It's been used 65 times in the Old Testament as hell, grave, or pit. 31 times it was used, translated as hell. 31 times it is translated as the grave, and 3 times as the pit. Then you got Hades, is another word in the Greek New Testament. It's an unseen state, is what it means. So we can look at Sheol and Hades, both mean a hollow subterranean place. Now, according to Ephesians chapter 8 and 9, it says, "Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Now that he ascended, what is he but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? So you see, he went to paradise that day, that were in the lower parts of earth. It's not there now. It's in the after the cross, that was all moved to heaven, into the third heaven. Okay. In verse 10 says, "He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above heavens, that he might feel all things." So we see here that Christ at this time went down there in that paradise place that we know about from the verses that we see that talks about Lazarus, the rich man, died and went to Abraham's bosom down in the earth, and across a great gulf fixed, the rich man suffered in hell. That part of the Bible there that talks about all that tells us so much what was going on in hell. Some about paradise was there, but we see that he looked across at that rich man, and we've heard the preaching before, but do we think about it? That man was in hell. He could feel the burning. He was thirsty, and he was thinking about his loved ones that hadn't died yet. And on we go. That man was as alive there today as we are alive right here. There's another lesson we could do on body, soul, and spirit. We're three in one, just like the Holy Spirit and God and Christ. We have a body, soul, and a spirit. And we know that all those have particular things that they do here on earth, but once we're separated from the body, we're just as alive in the twinkling of an eye. It changes. We know the Bible says, "Absent from the body, present with the Lord." So those at that point in Luke chapter 16, it explains all that about that story of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man was suffering, a great suffering there in hell. Just a good example to explain to somebody. And the great gulf fixed, they couldn't cross it. It was fixed. God had fixed it. Jesus changed all this when he died. He changed it all. So we see there in Ephesians 4 and 10, 4, 8, 9, and 10, that now paradise, he took it out of there that day. Remember, the man on the cross died that day, and he said, "You'll be with me in paradise that day." And I'm not sure the timing on all that happened, when he was resurrected, during that time, that man that was on the cross, that thief, did he go to that paradise? I got to think about that the other day. And then he experienced that with the saints that were there. And then all of a sudden, they were all went to heaven. And I think that it ain't like getting up and walking out of here. I think that all happened in a twinkling of an eye, just like it's going to happen for us. If he would come back today, in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be with him in the clouds. And I think that's what will happen too, because it says, absent from body, present with the Lord. When you shut your eyes here on this earth, you're going to wake up in front of Christ there in heaven. All that is instantaneous. There's no in-betweens or working your way there or this or that. And we'll talk about some of that crazy theories here in a minute people have come up with. So saved people don't go down there no more. That paradise has been removed from there. Now, in 2 Corinthians 5:8, it says, that's the verse that says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So we know that's true. But the problem is that unsaved people still go into that subterranean cavern and that hell that's been prepared there. They go there into that present hell, and they're going to be in that the rest of their eternity. Proverbs 15:24 says, hell is beneath, and the way of life is above to the wise, but he that departeth from hell beneath. Nobody departs from that. Nobody may depart from that hell beneath. So we see that that part of hell, it's talked about there as paradise. And now we can move on to the word abyss, which shows up in Revelations 20:1-3, a bottomless pit. And I saw an angel came down. Now this is Revelation. It's kind of telling us what's going to happen here. And what's going on in hell right now, there is people there waiting for all this to happen. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the keys to the bottomless pit and the great chain in his hand. Now that day that Christ went down there, it says he got the keys to the grave and hell and the pit and all that. So here's an angel coming down, says here in Revelations 1, that had this key to the bottomless pit. And he laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil, Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon it. And he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little season. I often think, why is all that? Why didn't God put those angels, look at your chart again, there between Eden and the flood, those angels that are in Tartarus waiting for their final judgment? Why did God not just go ahead and throw Satan down there and get rid of him at that time? Because he knew he was the prince and the power of this air. It has to come back to individual soul liberty, I believe. And there's verses and a bunch of stuff in the Bible we can prove that. We have to make a decision. It's our decision to be saved. God puts that on our shoulders. We have to make a decision to love him. God's a gentleman. He's not going to twist anybody's arm to get saved. We can't make anybody get saved. we can't save anybody. A lot of times we just start talking and we say that and we really don't mean it, but it can sound kind of funny. Well, I led that person to Christ. Well, I got them saved. Well, we didn't do the saving. The Lord did that, and we all know that. That's just how we talk sometimes. But I think the reason why he didn't lock Satan up at the end, now he put about, I think it's 2 million angels in there. We'll read that here in a minute. That were that had messed the world up at that point since between the Garden of Eden and the flood, the devil and these demons that the devil let loose on this world messed the world up so bad that he had to flood it and kill all the living souls on it, on this beautiful blue marble that we live on, except for Noah and his family. That was his plan. That's God's plan. God's plan is perfect. And you have to say, I can sit here and ask why all day and question all these things, and my mind goes into the details. But I think that this individual soul liberty and us making our own decisions on, I trust Christ as Savior. So as we witness to people and tell them that there is a literal hell and they're going to burn in it if they don't trust Christ as their Savior, the decision is on them. We can't take that on. We can feel guilty, but don't take that on. It's their decision. The devil is living and alive and well in this atmosphere, in this heaven, in this realm that God's allowed him to be in. So people will make their decision. They have to make a decision. I'm not going to live in that sinful condition no more. I'm going to trust what Christ did on the cross. Now, some people are so, we think they're so bad that they can't see. Well, we've done read verses that knows that God can save to the uttermost. It don't make no difference. Sin to God. See, in our minds, we like to categorize things. Well, this sin's here, and this sin's up here, and that and there. It's sin. We often said that salvation is level at the foot of the cross. It is. It's for all mankind. Red and yellow, black and white. He loves all men. And sin is level at the cross because of the devil in this world. And God wants us to make a decision. He wants our loved ones to make a decision. He wants people that we know that needs to know the truth to make a decision. They have to be, it's on them whether they decide not to get saved and they're going to go to hell. Now, I can use, there's all kinds of examples I could use of things that I know personally that's happened. I've seen teens get saved and men get saved. Debbie's daddy get saved after praying for him for 20 some years. Levi comes along and sits on Papa's lap and touches his heart and he gets saved. Well, we often think that's why we had 3 children. I know we've talked about that before. There was a time we was going to stop at 2 and said, all right, let's have one more here. And Levi was it. He's the one that we feel that did it. But everybody has to make that decision. So don't let that weigh you down to the point to where, oh, I'm afraid. Don't be afraid. Let the power of God and His Word empower you to talk and go forward because of the cause of Christ and by the cause of what the Word says. We don't want people to go to this place called hell that's been prepared for the devil and his angels, because at the end of the day, that's all that's going to be in there is the unsaved and the wicked and those that are not saved, plus the devil and all his people that he's using in his, in the atmosphere that we have today on this earth. So this present hell is just as, it's just as eternally in place, as eternal as heaven is. It's forever. It never ends. It's hard to understand that kind of suffering in this final hell that we know where its location is. And then in Revelations 2015. Well, let me back up. I missed one. So we talked about Tartarus. No, we haven't. Let's talk about that. In 2 Peter 2:4, for God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell. Now, that word hell is Hebrew Greek translation. At that point was Tartarus. It's not found anywhere else in the King James Version translated as that. So that word hell, so it says, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto the judgment. And what judgment's that? Well, look at your little chart there, and you can see that eventually you can go up here to the top toward heaven. You see the great white throne judgment at the end of the thousand-year reign. And follow, there's a path down to hell. Well, there's a little middle path there that goes right down there, goes across the Great Gulf Fixed, and goes right into Tartarus there. So those angels, and the Bible indicates that there's 200 million of them, or there's 2 million, I think is what it is. Six, anyway, there's a bunch of them. They're going to be brought out of there, brought up to the great white judgment, and then they're going to be put into the lake of fire. Now, the lake of fire must be worse because the Bible says that all this, the hell, the bottomless pit, the Tartarus, and all these people and everything that's going on, comes before the great white judgment and are doomed into that lake of fire at the end, the final place for them. And then there's a word in Revelations 9:14 saying that, and this again is prophecy, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now, a lot of folks believe that there's a place, these things that are, this angel loose on earth, there is a number of army of these horses, and there is two. Well, the number of this army of these horsemen are 200,000, and I heard the number of them. And it goes on to explain what these demons are. It's during that time of the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, when all these things are coming down and God's allowing these angels to open these seals and open these vials and pour this stuff out on earth. And we see these angels, where these angels, these horsemen, ride out of hell on these horses that have heads like lion and breastplates of fire. And we have, what, 6-7 million on earth today? If that happened today, we'd have about, it says 1/3 of the earth population will be killed. That's over 2 billion people will die at that time from this, just this event. So we see that somewhere this, and that occurred right here, just here, is the only place it says that in the Bible. There, it's some other part of hell that's not really, it's not really explained real well. It's a compartment under the earth somewhere that has this bunch of terrible stuff that's going to be released on us on the earth during the last 3.5. Of course, praise the Lord, none of us will be there. If you're saved today, we're either going to be raptured out of here today, or we'll die a peaceful death and be in heaven with God and Christ. When all that's going on, we'll be having supper at the marriage supper of the Lamb. But then we get to ride in at the last. I'm looking forward to that. I don't much care about riding horses, but I'll like it then. We'll ride in and we'll see the Lord take care of business and get things started for the 1,000-year reign heading toward the New Jerusalem. What things we're going to get to see. But this is just all this talk about hell. People, you may be witnessing to somebody that has enough sense to throw something back at you. Well, if they do, if they throw it back at you, come to me and I'll give you a copy of this lesson. And I'll give you a copy of Preacher Lasley's notes on all this. It's amazing. He's got so many notes here, I can't read them all. He's preached it so many times, God had brought different things to his mind. I can see it. One time he says this, the next time he says this, next time he says that. The Lord speaks, doesn't he? And gives you what to say at the time that he did rightly dividing the word. But anyway, here we are at the death, the present hell. Right now, people are in hell, and they're going to be brought up out of that fiery lake, brought up to the judgment seat of Christ. It says in Revelation 20:15, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now, folks, the Antichrist, this is the second death that we hear talked about. People are alive and well in heaven, right? And they're not alive and well. They're alive, but they sure ain't well in hell today. And they're going to be brought up out of the present hell. And the Antichrist and the false prophets are going to be the first inhabitants into that lake of fire. And that's going to be the end of them. Because it says eternity from that point on, the Bible tells us eternity goes forward with a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem and all the wonderful things that God is preparing for us. And all of that's something we can talk about to someone that once they get saved. That's the benefits. That's just some of the benefits that we're going to have forever and ever and ever. Revelation 20:10 says Satan will be cast into that lake of fire after the millennium. Now, of course, again, Satan is loose, and I often thought about that. Why let him out? They've got him chained up in a seal on him in the bottomless pit. Why turn him loose at the end of the 1,000-year reign? Well, that's another whole study. In my mind, just goes to that point to where we have to think what the world is going to be like after 1,000 years. Now, how can it be we're on the same earth? Christ comes out of heaven, sets up his kingdom there in Jerusalem, but there is going to be people come across. There are going to be some saved folks come across. It's not going to be a bunch of angels walking around on earth here. The earth's going to be repopulated again. It just talks about the animals are all going to be kind and nice and all that kind of thing. Little kids like to hear all that. But you got to think that as time goes on for 1,000 years, there's going to be some people. And then at the end of that, Satan is loosed. I think it comes right back down to that individual soul liberty thing. That people have to make a decision. They've lived on earth for 1,000 years. They see Christ sitting there on the throne. They see us as saved ones walking around doing whatever the mayor of gray, and they still, when Satan's loosed and his power gets back in the air again, they still decide that they're going to go the devil's way. Boy, it's just never forget how powerful sin is in our lives, in people's lives. In a blink of an eye, we can let Satan get hold of us. And when you're dealing with someone that needs to be saved, you got to understand how powerful Satan is going to resist you, resist them. If they get saved, you've got to get them discipled. You've got to get some of us and people, or you and everybody, to put their arms around these people that are walking away from a sinful life, because Satan don't want them to be successful Christians. He wants to hold them right in the mess that they're in. And if they decide to get saved, they've got to walk away from that. And the only way they can walk away with that is from the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in their life richly. Now, how all that's going to happen at the end of the thousand-year reign, we know that God has the final battle, and He wins it hands down. He's done with Satan. He takes the false prophets. He takes Satan. He takes all those angels that are in hell and casts them into the lake of fire forever. And then the sad thing about it is there's going to be millions of human beings walk in front of that great white throne judgment, and they're going to be thrown into the lake of fire with them. And you think right now, well, I know somebody probably needs to be there. Or we can look back at history and say, well, look at that person, what they did. Look at what they did to the Jews, and look at what they did to that group of people or this group of people. Yeah, there's been some wicked people through the ages past, plumb back to Adam and Eve. Or look at their family, what Satan did to it. The boys fighting killed one of them out in the garden. I mean, how do you think Adam and Eve felt about that? It was bad. I mean, Satan he started right off the bat, but he didn't let no time go by. And on and on and on it goes, and here we are today. And our church, has it become stagnant? Has churches gotten stagnant in the world? Boy, let me tell you, COVID has just really tried to knock the props out from under us. We need to go on for the cause of Christ because of this hell that's pending in front of everybody. You know, people can give it names, and Chio and this and that and Tartarus and all these names. Bottom line, it's an eternity away from God. It's eternity away from God. Uttermost blackness, dark, burning fire. And yes, fire can burn dark. It can get so hot it you can't see the flame. You can look down in some flames on some gas things, and there is a part down in there that's burning that you see no light from it. You ever been in the dark, in the real dark? Been in a coal mine, turn the light out. You talking about dark 5 miles back underground? And I've often thought, being there, how much farther you got to go to get to hell, straight down, and how much darker can get. Folks, it's dark. It's so dark you can't even see the hand in front of your face, as the saying goes. It's not comfortable. You turn your light back on real quick. It's just not a good place. Not a good place. Some people can't do that. Never did bother me much, but it's part of coal mining. Anyway, folks, we need to be commissioned. We need to be recharged. We need to double our efforts in telling people, if they don't get saved, and you know, we've cushioned stuff to where people are just got chips on their shoulders, and they're so Mamaw used to say they're milk toast. Well, they call them snowflakes today. And you can't tell anybody anything bad, or it just, they get hurt and walk away and don't want to hear it. We have to be so cautious on how we tell this story. And you can't just run into somebody, you're going to hell. No, you can't do that. You've got to be smart about how we witness and talk to others. Well, I'm going to have to stop. The clock has caught me. I could just go on and on here. If you ever get in a situation where you need some data, just let me know. I can make copies of this stuff and share it with you. And you can look at it and use it to help someone understand that there is a real hell. Okay, let's pray and have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. God, we thank you for your power over the devil. Thank you for the power of your salvation. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for all the promises of heaven and a home and a forever with you there in the new Jerusalem and a new heaven and all it's been prepared for us, Lord. You're doing so much. And God, we thank you for that. Lord, help us to be a witness. Help us to be smart about being a witness. Let the Holy Spirit dwell richly in us that we can speak boldly for you and keep people out of hell. And let this be the pinnacle for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Bottom line, Lord, we thank you for this auditorium. We thank you for all the activities. And all those things bring people in. Lord, bring them in and let's preach the word and see them saved. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all.